weeks ago shared about why we need the Bible, and want to just go over that some today again. Had a particular direction I felt like the Lord was supposed to, we were supposed to go. Usually I like to pray and have like the next year pretty much direction, you know, all planned out, right? Then there's God. No, usually I pray and I said, I feel that this is, but also I realize Jesus is the one who's building the church. So I try, and I really felt just for a season here in a series of why we need the Bible. Next couple weeks is why pray. Why do we need to pray? In October, we're going to have some sharing why we are to worship God, what that does for our life. So this it's not going to be infinity. We're going to ask all kinds of why questions, but at least for a season, that's what we're heading on. So, you know, the Bible was written over a span of about 1,500 years, and we're blessed. You know, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was written by about 40 authors, and it was in three different languages. But the Bible, like, you know, a lot of other religious books has, like, sayings, where the Bible has a lot of facts. It's got a lot of facts, and many of those facts have been proven over and over and over again by archaeologists and historians. But the central message of all 40 authors and the whole book of the Bible is God wants to have a relationship with you personally. From the very beginning to the very end and things that haven't even happened, the whole goal of that is God wants to have a relationship with you. The question, which, you know, you've heard, well, is the Bible reliable and everything? The question is really, and any intelligent person who's ever given any effort at all would find that the Bible is quite reliable. Only ones who just never check it out, never find facts, they're the ones who's going to make, well, it's not reliable. It's very much one of the most reliable historical books we've had. There's been more effort and more done studies making sure the accuracy of the Bible than almost any other book in history. And there was a scholar, Philip Schaeffer, said out of the 150,000 words in the New Testament, only 400 of them are even questionable, which means they're not exactly sure what that word exactly was. But they said out of those 400 words, out of 150,000, only 50 of those are even significant words. And out of the 50 words that are significant words, none of them really change what we believe or the way we're supposed to live. That isn't confirmed somewhere else in the scripture. So to put that in perspective a little bit, if somebody came to you and said this, go to Straight Street, Marion, Ohio, and if you go to the third house on the left, make two quick knocks on the door and say, picnic basket, then you'll receive $10 million. Now, some may think, well, that's not exactly the way that should be written. You know, we should put some commas in there. You know, Marion, Ohio, go to Straight Street, comma. If you go, put a comma in there. And, well, you know, well, that's maybe not exactly what it should be. You know, what, maybe we should put commas. Let's take out the hyphens. The reality is, it doesn't matter if there was commas or hyphens or anything in there. If somebody told you that, you're going to go to that street, and you're going to knock probably on every door on the street, whether it's the third street. And whether it's the third street coming from this direction or that direction, you're going to find it. Well, that's basically the word of God. And this is worth more than $10 million, than what God has in here, because it's eternally. And so there's truths in there. Whether we don't have a comma here or whether the word should be the or if or whatever, it doesn't change the vitalness of the fact that there's blessings and there's honor and there's salvation, the truth of the scripture. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about some of the things of what the Bible does for us. And I'm going to just review a little bit and then share a couple additional things that we didn't get to hit a few weeks ago. Well, one of them we talked about is that it says in John, this is the prayer Jesus was praying and talking to the Father. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify basically means there's a cleansing. So there's something when we're in the word of God, there's a cleansing that goes on. There's something that happens in us. Even in Ephesians, it says that the husband is to wash the bride or wash your wife with the cleansing of the word. There's just something cleansing about being in the Word of God. You know, that doesn't mean you have to understand every single thing you read. It's just by faith that you're reading and you're believing that, God, there's something going on here while I'm reading this Word. There's something that happens, you know, that's going on while I'm reading God's Word. Another thing that Paul says, and this is in the book of Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then the Gentile." This word power here is a word called dunamis, which is the word that, and I share this, Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on." Now, this word, this word is part of the root word that we get the word dynamite from. But the word dynamite has nothing to do with this word. Many people preach that, and they say, well, it means, but it doesn't. It has nothing to do with that word. The word dynamite wasn't even come into existence until 1867 when Alfred Nobel created it. And he got it. That word was created from the root of this word, but it means that is not what it means. The Romans and the Greeks did not have gunpowder. If the Romans have gunpowder, it would have been a mess, because believe me, they would have used it. But I thank God they didn't have gunpowder. But anyways, this word basically means an ability, a divine ability. And, you know, and one principle in Bible interpretation is don't take a word out of Scripture and make it mean something that it didn't mean in the Bible. You know, if it didn't mean that back then, it doesn't all of a sudden switch and mean it now. And so don't, that's just that, you don't do that. And, but it means a divine ability to do what? A divine ability to live like God, to be witnesses for Him. On, if you take the next verse here, 17, oops, I didn't I'll put 17 in. Oh, I'll just read it to you. It says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So what he's saying is that the gospel is the power of God, the ability of God to stand before God and be okay. Without the gospel, without knowing the Word of God, you cannot do that. But with the ability of God, we can stand here and we say, God, I need. How many of you say, I need the ability of God? Do you need the ability of God? We're going to welcome. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you came that we might be witnesses. We might have the ability of God. And Lord, even this day as we sang the songs, we heard the exhortations, that we could stand before you right. And even the things from our past, the things we went through this week, the struggles of life, because you said in your word, it's your word. It's what you did, Jesus, not what we did. So we stand this day. We welcome your Holy Spirit, that fresh ability to live for you, ability to live in your promises, ability to be overcomers. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Some might be saying, well, I understand that I want that, but how do I receive that? It's all by faith. It's just simply saying, God, I need that. Some of you might feel something. Some of you might not feel anything. But that doesn't mean that God isn't answering that prayer. But, so it's welcoming his ability. So part of that is we have a power of God. Another place says Scripture that his word is a lamp to my feet, light for my path, that it helps give us guidance in times of darkness. Now, this isn't exactly always that it's telling you what to do and where to go. Sometimes my guidance is just that I need peace. The guy said, you know, you should have peace. You should have joy. Not necessarily go over here and do this or do that. You know, remember, God came not that we can go do something, but we can be something. And the number one thing he wants us to be is his sons and daughters, that he can be our Father. So another one says, "For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So the word of God is living. So there's something about it. It helps us discern, you know, between things in our life and what's God and what's not God and what's our soul, what's just our emotions, and what's, you know, do you think our emotions can control us? Excuse me. Do you think our emotions can cause us to do things we shouldn't or prevent us from doing things we should? All that. Yes. Emotions are powerful. Why do you think, the music industry, why it's making so much money? because a lot of it's geared toward our emotions. It taps in to our emotions. And so emotions are powerful, and God created us to have those, but it's that they're used the proper way. The focus of a verse I want to look at today is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The word conform here means that you are fashioning into some kind of pattern. How many has ever sewn something before from a pattern? You ever used a pattern? How many has ever used a pattern to make something, like build something or something? So most of us understand what patterns are for. Patterns are not just in writing. I mean, how many have ever watched? I mean, those of you in sports, you know, didn't your coach has showed you, in a sense, there's a pattern to do this. There's a way to do this. There's a way to make a pass. There's a way you're supposed to jump over a bar. There's a way, you know, you can do a particular gymnastic move or a wrestling move. There's patterns that we have. And there's good patterns. These are not necessarily the patterns this is talking about. The patterns this is talking about is patterns that remove you from God. The patterns that separate you from God. He's saying, don't conform to those patterns in the world that's going to separate you from God. And part of understanding what those are is just what we read ago, is from the Word of God. To know those, if you're just going to try to figure them out yourself, you may be a little bit successful, but most likely you're not going to be. We need the Word of God to show us what the patterns are going to be. It's like my brother Brant, who works at the bank. He said one of the best ways for tellers to know what counterfeit is because they're used to handling the real stuff. The best way for us to recognize when something's not God is to know what is God. And the way we know what is God is by His Word. And the word transformed here is a word that we get. It's metamorpho is the transliterated Greek word. But it basically means, it's put together two words. It's meta, which is there's a sense of transferring or something going on. And morpho means to fashion or form. So it means there's a sequence of things happening to create something. That's basically what this means. And the root, if you go back to root, it means there's an adjustment. How many would say, I think I need adjustment in something? All of us need adjustment, you know, sometime in life. If you don't need adjustment, just ask somebody you live with. And they'll let you know what adjustments may need. Don't open up too much because you might get more information than you want. But, you know, a big factor in the whole process of metamorphosis, a big factor in that is this word, it's an element. It's called enzyme. It's an enzyme. And if we consider the Word of God, now enzyme is a catalyst. Now a catalyst is something that just makes things happen. It causes chemical reactions. It causes molecular things that goes on. And if we think about the Word of God as an enzyme, if we put that in the factor, then putting this, I'm going to share a little bit about this, what an enzyme really does. First of all, it's... one of the main things is it takes something, an enzyme will take something from a basic starting point and get it over here to what it's supposed to be. And so the Word of God can take us from some place we are, where we're just starting, and take us to what we're supposed to be. Enzymes are specifically assigned for a specific task. So God, there's things in the Word of God that you might read that mean, it's like, well, that's pretty cool. But for you, it's outstanding. I mean, God speaks to you. There's something in that word. It's like, wow, man, that really touched me. Or somebody else, like, whatever, you know. But that's because God speaks to you specifically. He speaks to you individually, and he knows where you are. So he knows what enzyme you need right now to process and help you get going in life and things that happen. Enzymes cause things to go much, much faster. In fact, they said it's to a point that it's millions of times faster as opposed to that you just try and do it on your own. That's that enzyme. The Word of God will help you get to where you want to go much faster than if you just try to do it on your own, because we apply faith in the power of God. You know, it says in the Scripture, that's what we're trying not to be. Even though that's what we look like in a lot. But the Word of God, and that's where we're going, and that's an enzyme. And in, well, they look like something like that. They can look different than that. Yours might be a different color, but this, not really. Anyways, in Romans chapter 10, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe if the one of whom they have not, on the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Without the word of God, we cannot have faith. And if we don't know what the word of God is, we can't have faith. So we need to have the word of God, or things aren't just going to happen. One of the things that happens when you have an enzyme is there's things called inhibitors, which things that affect how that really works in your life. Pressure, temperature, environment, all those can affect how an enzyme works in your, and the same thing with us. Our life, those things can affect our life, pressures in life. We don't have time for the word of God. Well, God, I don't have time to believe in that, or that's not true, or I don't want to receive that. There's things that go on in our life that will cause us to set aside the word of God and not take it in and allow it to work and process what God wants to do. Now, how does that green, ugly thing get over to that? Well, that little thing in the middle, it's cute for a bird. That's about as cute as it. Anyways, how does that happen? You can enjoy it if all you want, but how does that happen? I know they have, anyways. Well, actually, the main way that happens, what goes on in that cocoon, is an enzyme process. And what happens is that, basically, that caterpillar melts, and it becomes just a big saucy thing, which you can say, yuck. It just sort of dissolves, you know, into this saucy thing. The reality is we need the Word of God sometimes to dissolve our past and dissolve the things in our life so that we can go on, because if it was not, if it didn't go through that process, it would never get to that other thing. It would never become a butterfly. We need that to happen. And the thing is there's inside that caterpillar, inside that is a thing called imaginal discs. Now what that is inside that caterpillar is everything it's supposed to be a butterfly. Everything that to get from there to there is already potential inside there. But it will never happen unless it goes through that process. It will never happen. And there's a two-step process inside that cocoon that goes on. First is the dissolving away of who we are, what we were. And that's a life process. That continues to go on. We experience something, we pick up something, some experience, something try to come on. But the second process is who we're going to be. And inside there, that same, those enzymes, proteins, help us. And the Word of God, if we go back, the Word of God can help us. Now, I realize it's not just the Word of God alone. It's the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit, it's one another. It's all kinds of ingredients goes on, all kinds of enzyme processes. But the Word of God is one of the main ones, because we need to realize, wait a minute, that was from my past. That should not be going on. That's what I used to be. But God, this is what you say I am. This is what you say I'm supposed to be. You say I'm supposed to be more than a conqueror. You say I'm supposed to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, that love and joy and peace. You know, I remember when I was working at the city, one day I was sitting here and I walked in and I was going through some stuff and everything. It's not that we don't go through things, but the biggest thing is we make sure we go through. You know, we don't stop and live there and build a house and say, okay, I'm just going to live here for the rest of my life. You know, that's basically you're staying in the cocoon. And God came to me and says, where is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, if you want the fruit of the Spirit, it's not just going to fall on you. I mean, it's not just going to something that's like, oh, you'd accidentally run into it. It is a choice in life. You know, the Holy Spirit is available for us to walk in. The Word of God is available for us to live in, but it's your choice. I cannot do it for you. Your ancestry cannot. You say, well, my parents were Christians, and this, you have to choose yourself. You know, it's not just something somebody else can do for you. It's not your leader or your path. You have to choose to walk in those promises. You have to choose to allow those imaginal discs to begin to form and begin to take place. And the only way that's going to happen is you let the Word of God become part of your life. And prior process, that's a free choice. That's your choice. Whatever you want to be. You can stay a caterpillar the rest of your life. You know, that's not what God's potential, but you can do that. And the thing that I found is with us as Christians is those imaginal discs. We don't know what all they are. We don't know what's in you is going to look different than in me. So as we're this butterfly, I mean, pretty much they got all these narrowed. They know that caterpillar will always look like that. But in us, it's different. In us, when we allow the Word of God, you're going to look different. Things are going to be different inside of us. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians, and if we could have the musicians come back up, please. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, this is the same word, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. God, as we take off the veil, as we remove the veil to see God, who he says he is, and who he says we can be, as we take that off, there's a transformation that goes on. And God wants to take us from glory to glory. Don't ever stop and settle with one glory. Don't ever stop and say, I've done enough. I'm good. You know, I'm better than that person. Look at them. I mean, they don't even, they didn't even raise their hands today. You know? I mean, I didn't see it. I mean, that, I probably read my Bible more. So, well, that's dangerous, first of all. You should never, you're on slippery ground. You're going backwards when you do that kind of stuff. But God wants to take us from glory to glory. And he wants to, and why does he want to do that? Just so he can be proud? Just so he can say, hey, look what I made? No, because he loves us. He loves us, and he knows the joy happens in our life, the freedom, as we sang earlier, the freedom that he wants. Because can you imagine the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly? What they can do? That's the same thing with God. God wants us to have that freedom so that we can have that. He wants to have that freedom in our relationship with him, in our relationship with each other, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, in our jobs, in our life. That we can walk in that freedom. You say, well, what about life? Yeah, we have life. Things happen. You know, we get hurt. We get injured. People, you know, die. People grieve. People get sick. Things that happen. That does not change who God is. And does not change his heart for us to walk in that freedom and walk in that love. Things happen. But you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And the biggest thing is God happens too. Things happen, yes, but God happens, and he is in control. We can go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask if we would take a moment and say, just consider, Lord, I'm willing afresh to receive your enzymes in my life, to allow you to dissolve things in my past and things that I need to let go, need to process, but also to welcome you to develop and to do everything that you want to do in me, that I may fully develop into what you have for me. You know, some of we haven't, I know I don't, we don't have a full clue of what all that is, an understanding, but we have a God who loves us, we can trust him. You say, if you're willing to do that, just lift your hand to the Lord, we're going to pray. And Holy Spirit, even in the midst of our limited understanding, God, we see things, we understand things. We welcome you to help us. By your grace, that dunamis power, by your divine ability, God. Lord, we can't even dissolve things from our past without you. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Things we need to let go, Lord. Labels that's been put upon us, God. Lord, things that people have said about us that we're not going to happen. Or even our own struggles in our own life, God. That we have to let go of things in the past. We thank you that your forgiveness and the blood of Jesus covers that. And Lord, we welcome that you would help us to see in your word and see who we are and who we're meant to be and all that you have for us. We thank you, God, for you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that we may not perish but have life by believing in him. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. We're going to welcome our personal ministry team. These ones are available up front here. If you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, never even got to that point, I would encourage it. Come. There's nobody who loves you more than God. Come, and these ones can explain. We say, I don't know what that means. Well, they can explain that and share with you. It's not a complicated thing. It's a God who loves you and wants to have a relationship. They're available. Pray with you about anything you want prayer for. You say, well, I'm not sick. I'm not struggling. But I want to just be blessed. They can pray for you to be blessed. That's what they're here for. So welcome you. Mike's going to lead us in a song. So go out and fly and be all that God wants you to be. God bless you.